Welcome to the latest Tablet podcast. My name is Ruth Gledhill and I'm assistant editor of The Tablet. And with me today is Tony Sheen of CAFOD. Well, at least he was of CAFOD until he retired, actually yesterday. But he's very kindly agreed to come on and talk to us because along with CAFOD, we at The Tablet are very keen to help promote active involvement in what this extraordinary charity is doing at the local level to further its international work. So Tony, I'm sure most of our listeners probably know already, but could you just explain what CAFOD is?
Yeah, of course. Hello there. So CAFOD stands for the Catholic Agency for Overseas Development. And we are working on behalf of the church here in England and Wales as an overseas development and a response to emergencies and an advocacy agency to work alongside poor communities in Latin America, Africa and in Asia, tackling poverty and injustice. We might be responding to emergencies like the floods in Pakistan last year, or to communities affected by climate change, or long-term sustainable projects to help communities stand on their own two feet with dignity.
So before we get on to the work you've been doing, which is very much based at the local level in the Westminster Diocese, how does CAFOD fit in to the wider church structure?
Since the 1960s, we've been asked by the bishops and commissioned by the bishops of England and Wales to represent and be the vehicle that people can respond and show their compassion to their sisters and brothers overseas. So we act on behalf of the church and on behalf of all people who want to help. We sit as part of a network internationally. We're a member of what's called Caritas International. So the outreach of the church, perhaps in Sudan or perhaps in Congo or in Bangladesh, might be known as Caritas Bangladesh, Caritas DRC. And we would support our sister agencies in those countries in partnership, helping that response on behalf of the church.
Very good, thank you. So how did you get involved in this work?
Well, I guess I started as a volunteer, first of all. I think moved in the 1980s. I was affected about situations around the world. So the famine in Ethiopia that hit our TV screens in the 1980s moved me. You know, the Michael Burke on the 9 o'clock news talking about a devastating situation. I saw that CAFOD was responding to that. But I was also moved by situations of injustice around the world, and it was the height of terrible situation around apartheid at the time, and so I was seeing the church being the voice of change. I was inspired by people like Desmond Tutu and Archbishop Trevor Huddleston standing up against apartheid. I joined a justice and peace group in my parish, and I saw that the church was concerned about social injustice, and there was a social teaching of the church that was something that it wasn't just a party political thing. It was Jesus calling us to stand up for what is right and for our sister and brother. So I saw CAFOD was involved in those activities. And so I started as a CAFOD volunteer in my parish, which is in Enfield in North London.
And at that time, you must have been in your early 20s. Were you fresh out of university or did you have another career at that point?
So I actually didn't go to university. I left school as a not very studious 16-year-old, and my dad had worked in banking, and so he said, "Look, you're not going to waste your time not working hard at university." And he gave me some template letters to write to the bank. So I actually had started working in banking and doing something that wasn't really in my heart, but it was a job. And I gained different experience from public speaking to growing into a management position. So learning how to work with a variety of people with different skills. And so I had for the first 25 years of my business career, while I was involved in CAFOD and Justice and Peace at a parish level, I was involved in as a commuter going into a bank and working nine to five at first, and then longer hours as the years developed.
It was so different in those days, wasn't it? Because I myself didn't get a degree, although I did try university and didn't succeed at it. But I went into journalism as one of the last proper indentured apprenticeship schemes. And, you know, you could do that then. You could end up on a paper like The Times, kind of from nothing, really, or from very little. And it was a different world, wasn't it, than it is today?
It certainly was. And I'm glad that I wasn't, just because I didn't have a degree, that I wasn't written off. Although in later years, they were insisting in the bank that I could only recruit graduates. And I remember challenging one of my bosses and saying, "Well, I'm not a graduate. I'm very senior. Have you got a problem with that?" Yes. So, I think that I did learn a lot of things through the bank. But I was in 2005, around the time of Make Poverty History, and the big campaign to drop the debt and to campaign for trade justice. I was certain that I needed to make a career change, and a sequence of events took place that allowed me to leave the bank and apply for a job at CAFOD. And that was the best thing I ever did in my career. The last almost 18 years have been very fulfilling, and met some wonderful people, volunteers and colleagues, and had some marvellous experiences. So, I'm very pleased that I had that opportunity, and thank God for it.
And what job was it that you applied for?
So I applied, at the time it was called a Dyson manager, but what it was to be a local face of CAFOD in the Westminster Diocese, and to recruit volunteers, because in the Westminster Diocese there are over 200 parishes, over 200 Catholic schools, and it's not physically possible for me to visit all of those. So my job was to help build up a volunteer network to support existing volunteers, so that people could have a way of engaging with the work of CAFOD. And that could be through fundraising, it could be through campaigning or prayer in their church, but to become the local face of CAFOD. Many people will feel moved but helpless when they see a situation on the TV screen around the world. But through CAFOD, there are many ways that people can help contribute to making a difference, and my job was part of that vehicle to introduce different ways of how people might engage with us and help make a difference.
So as we move through the noughties and then towards the present era, and as the world of work developed so rapidly, both with online technologies appearing and then with the introduction of performance benchmarks into almost every profession, including the not-for-profit, was your performance, in quotes, was your performance measured in any way? What was the I'm looking for some way to
Yeah.
ask you to describe how you believe you might have transformed the work of CAFOD in the Westminster Diocese.
I in answer to your question about performance, I would be very driven as an individual. So I would want to make sure that there were so many more volunteers in every parish, that volunteers were recruited to cover the whole of North London and the whole of Hertfordshire to visit schools. I assert that while CAFOD would measure how many people stood up at Mass and delivered a talk, and how many people lobbied their local MP about trade justice or about climate change, so there would be figures involved. But I would be very hesitant to say how I transformed.
Yes, I realise that came out all wrong, but I couldn't think of another way to say
What
it.
I would say is that I was privileged to meet many people with different skills who would generously offer to give some time and some skills to CAFOD. So they transformed CAFOD through their work, and I was a vehicle to try and listen to what people were able to do and try to match that to needs that CAFOD has. Because I guess a lot of people think, oh yeah, I'd like to help, but I picture it that the only way I could help is going overseas and doing something. And actually, change can happen here, and it can happen in so many ways. It can happen through our lifestyles. It can happen because some people would be willing to stand up and deliver a talk twice a year. So a small commitment in some ways that they go to Mass on a Sunday, but they would be a voice for CAFOD twice a year to deliver a thank you talk at Family Fast Day, once in Lent and once at Harvest. And they might see that as not much, but that means that everybody in the pew that weekend gets a message from CAFOD of thanks, how their donation has made a difference to communities overseas. Other people might be willing to do stuff not at weekends, but during the day, and they might do something with training, the appropriate training to deliver an assembly in a school or a classroom workshop. Others might be politically motivated, not party politically motivated, but motivated. Think no, the aid budget is important. I can see that development's important. I can see that we need to reduce our emissions. Climate change, we've seen fires around the world, and I want to do something. We've seen floods, I want to do something to ensure poor communities don't continue to face dreadful situations. I'm willing to write to my MP or meet with my MP once a year to say that I'm concerned as a Catholic, as a Christian, that this is not right, as a constituent, and I will vote for policies that protect God's creation. So my job is to meet people, listen to what they are able to offer, and try to match that to a need that CAFOD has.
Is there anything that stands out from your time doing this work as a particularly memorable story or thing that happened where people went to amazing efforts or achieved amazing results in terms of helping with the charity's work?
Oh, there are so many, and let's try and think. So if we're talking about volunteers, there'd be vo volunteers who in invariably are people with personal challenges in their life. So they might be living with cancer, but they would still be going and visiting a school once a month. They might be and delivering a workshop. They might be visiting. They might be organising an event. So there's a lady who's called Marie. Marie has volunteered in the CAFOD office since she retired from full-time work 22 years ago. Every week, once or twice a week, she'd come into the office to do admin. Every family fast day, she would organise a soup lunch in her parish bread and soup, where she'd make her own soup, she'd make her own bread, and you'd get 50 or 60 people coming from the parish for a community event to take part in that event and to raise money for CAFOD. She would organise a parish walk for CAFOD to celebrate creation and say prayers around the local park. There'd be many Maries around the diocese, but then there would also be lovely events. So my colleague Eileen and myself, many years ago, were approached by one of our volunteers, Steve, and he said, "Let's do a bike ride. Let's let people enjoy creation and have a sponsored bike ride and enjoy living simply and sustainably on a bike and getting enjoyment out of that." And we started the first year with about 50 people doing a bike ride. It grew to become a diocesan bike ride that took place for 10 years running, with up to 200 people at its peak riding and what we called pedaling against poverty. We had school kids, we had a 90-year-old, and we had a 5-year-old cycling along the Lee Valley in North London and Hertfordshire on a family day out, enjoying doing something simple for the good of others. Many more events, retreats with volunteers, with speakers from overseas talking about their lives and talking about CAFOD's projects that moved people and inspired people who are volunteers gathered together on those occasions.
So that bike ride isn't what then evolved into the walk against hunger, is it?
No, it may have inspired it, but yeah, our annual event now is during Lent. We will always have a walk against hunger or a walk for water. Simple act of people walking in solidarity. That actually started, that walk during Lent started during the lockdown, actually, when people weren't able to do things collectively. So we asked people to do things individually or in pairs as part of their daily walk, to walk every day in Lent. And it grew into what's become a big, successful an annual event, and now can be a community event as well. And lots of parishes around the diocese have walks together. And we mustn't underestimate being community and getting people together in our own parish to do something collectively for good, but also to enjoy it. It doesn't have to be something that we're being harsh on ourselves and a penance. You know, doing good can be something joyful.
Yes. Now, although the walks that you have had since lockdown are incredibly successful, the biggest fundraising thing is actually the Lent fundraising campaign, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's where CAFOD actually came out of. So back in the 1960s, during Lent, a group of women, the Catholic Women's League, or the League of Catholic Mothers, were moved by an emergency in the island of Dominica, and approached their priests in their parishes and said, "We should do a collection for this." And this was highly successful, they realised that this needed to be organised with the amount of money that was coming in. And that was how CAFOD was formed. The women started in Lent in 1960, and in 1962, CAFOD was formed. And every Lent and every harvest, we ask people on the first Friday of October or the first Friday of Lent to give up a simple or have a simple meal. So not to have your Friday fish and chips or your takeaway curry, but put that money aside, and that little act of penance, put their money in an envelope, and to pray and think of your global family that Friday, and to bring the envelope back the following Sunday when there will be a collection for CAFOD. And that's grown into a successful campaign which parishes and priests support us and give us a platform twice a year to hold that collection for our global family. And that's what we call an unearmarked collection. So it allows us to spend the money wherever the need is greatest at that time. And we use that money not just to fund emergencies, but for long-term sustainable projects like water, sanitation, climate-resistant projects that help that sit drought, you know, seeds that can be grown more effectively in very dry lands, but also to challenge land rights for Indigenous people in the Amazon, or for people who live in huge shanty towns on the edges of cities who need a home to live in, local to the place where they go to work. Family Fast Days fund amazing projects like that, plus many more. You want to ask me another question and I'm going on for too long. Sorry.
No, it's really interesting. Sorry. But I think what a question that a lot of people listening will want to know the answer to is, in today's time poor world, how do you go about persuading people to become volunteers? And also, how do the churches deal with the problem of trying to encourage young people to get involved in this kind of work, people who were young like you were when you started? Because as we all know, there is this big endemic problem in the church at the moment of attracting the next generations.
Very good question. So time poor people and next generations. Let me do next generations first. So CAFOD has many opportunities for involving young people. So we would, through our schools program of work, we would have volunteers going into schools talking to young people about how they might get involved. And we've got schemes called a young leadership scheme, where young people at school can train with CAFOD to deliver talks in their own school on behalf of CAFOD, also to deliver talks in their parish alongside CAFOD. So one great thing, we talk about, the struggle of keeping young people involved in the church, maybe after confirmation, but CAFOD volunteers have successfully involved the confirmation candidates in delivering the family fast day talks at each mass, handing out envelopes, leading with a little talk about our current campaign about the unfair food system. Many young people have stood with giant letters to the World Bank and asked people to sign it at the end of mass. So there's roles that we can empower and encourage young people to stay involved in the church through CAFOD, and we have resources for confirmation classes, for children's liturgy, for communion. It's plenty of stuff on our webpage that catechists and parish priests can look at or talk to their local diocesan contact at CAFOD to see how we can help. Then we moved on to your question about time poor. Yes, it's very true that people work longer hours and people find it difficult to volunteer. I would say that our giving a talk twice a year at Family Fast Day, or handing out envelopes, or asking people to sign a petition once a year, is a low form of commitment that hopefully people could say, well, I can't do much, but I'll give a commitment twice a year. But we do have opportunities then when people either retire and want to do something to help others, but can't do it every day, but maybe want to do something once a week or once a month. And that could be That could be in our local office, or that could be representing us in a school. But then there's also maybe university students who have either finished their degree and haven't got a job, that might want to look at our Step Into the Gap scheme for 18 to 30 year olds, which is an opportunity for them to get involved and volunteer and get some other skills that might help them get into the workplace with some experience with CAFOD. So we've got ways that help people at either end of the career, as well as while they're working as well.
Well, that's really interesting. Well, I think we will call it a day there now, for now, Tony. Could you just say to anyone listening to this where they can go for more information, how to donate, how to get involved, perhaps?
Yes, of course, of course. So the CAFOD webpage is a very simple one to remember, cafod.org.uk. If you go onto the webpage, there's a menu, and there can be how to donate, there can be where we work, there can be how to volunteer. There's even an induction course for potential volunteers. And most of it is /volunteer or /donate or fundraise. Our head office phone number is 0207 733 7900, where you can phone up and get through, put through to your local rep or our supporter care team, who will be happy to help you. And I'd really encourage people to do that. Our faith calls us to think of our global family, and CAFOD is a great vehicle for us to put our faith into action and connect with our global sister or brother.
Thank you, Tony. Well, if you have enjoyed this podcast, you can hear previous episodes at thetablet.co.uk/podcasts. If you would like to find out more about The Tablet and our other content, check out our subscription offers, thetablet.co.uk/subscribe, and you can sign up for free to our newsletter that goes out twice a week, thetablet.co.uk/newsletter. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.